From Austin Film Festival, this is On Story, a look inside the creative process from today's leading writers and filmmakers. I'm your host, Barbara Morgan. On this special presentation of On Story, we're taking a closer look at some of the incredible films chosen to screen at the 26th Annual Austin Film Festival and the filmmakers behind those films. We spoke with filmmakers whose work represents some of the most original voices in filmmaking from around the world and the challenges they faced in their creative process, as well as the breakthroughs that led them to the Austin Film Festival. On this week's On Story, director Matt Patterson discusses his feature film, Apartment 413. The film tells the story of Marco, played by actor Nicholas Sainz, who is running out of time to find a job before his girlfriend Dana has their first baby. However, the walls begin to close in around him and his grip on reality begins to slip into a psychological nightmare. Matt Patterson is an award-winning writer, producer, and director. Patterson has written 8 feature screenplays, a sitcom pilot, and produced 3 features and over 100 media projects. Patterson also co-founded Matter Media Studios.
So I am Matt Patterson. I am the director and producer of Apartment 413. So I had been going through a series of, I've produced several features before that I had also written, and I got to a place where I was just having project after project fall apart in some stage of development. And I started to wonder if I was the problem with writing. And so I decided to just download a couple scripts online. I found a site called Inktip. And I took a week and downloaded 20 scripts and just went and hung out at a pub and drank and read scripts. And I actually found a couple that really blew me away from a concept standpoint. And one of those was what would eventually become Apartment 413. And it was originally titled The Church Bells All Were Broken, so I knew that the name needed to change. But it had this really great concept that all fit into one place, for the most part, 2 main characters. And it was something that I could go ahead and make with the money I had set aside in the bank already. And so I reached out to Ron, who was the writer. We struck up an immediate friendship, talking through what could work and not. And then over the course of a year and a half, we worked on rewrites. I brought in Bria Grant, who is one of the actresses, early on as a friend, just to read the script, give feedback. She gave really excellent Bechdel-type notes for female character, and we were able to really expand on the script together and develop it. And I chose specifically to do this, one, because it was a really enticing story. It wrestled with a lot of themes that I question, like how can we possibly lie to ourselves? What does it look like to live a life where you choose to live in a lie rather than reality? The current political climate makes me think about how that works, not only with my fellow American citizens, but myself too. So I just wanted to wrestle with that theme. And at the same time, it was a fun thing that we could pull off with a very low budget. So Apartment 413 is about a guy named Marco who is out of work, trying to find work. His girlfriend is pregnant and a teacher, but she's not gonna be able to work for very much longer. And during the process of, as we now modern, looking for work means you stay at home in your pajamas looking online, he basically is trapped inside of his apartment 24/7. And while most people might start to get depressed and start hearing things, he really does start losing his mind. Notes start appearing, weird things start happening, and eventually there's even people that don't exist that start showing up, and then it gets weird.
Hey, listen, I haven't really been, feeling that great lately, you know?
This ain't a hospital.
No, but I mean, like, maybe I don't 100% trust everything that I, see or hear.
Oh, yeah?
Well, so I look at it as a really effective psychological horror, and maybe not horror in the traditional sense, but certainly thriller horror. Mm-hmm. Once you found this script online, how did you and the writer, and talk about the writer too, decide to approach the process of taking this concept, which is very, this is cerebral, more cerebral, less action, mm-hmm. how you developed that into feeling comfortable with something that's going to take place in a small space?
Yeah, so developing the project to fit in a small space, work in a small space, and not feel overly claustrophobic. The claustrophobia to a point is great. The walls are closing in on the main character. I wanted the audience to feel that as well. But the worst thing you could possibly do is make somebody like want to leave watching the movie because they're just constantly aware that they've never left. So in working with Ron Mead, the writer, we really started thinking through visually came up with a lot of ideas of how I wanted to shoot things from inside of places. Every shot and angle in the rooms needed to change, and even changing the set decorations during the process, and reworking the scenes from a writing standpoint to make sure that there was always a clear beginning, middle, and an end for each scene, which obviously is important for no matter what you're shooting, but really making sure that there was some piece of new information that moved us from room to room and scene to scene. And there was always a sense of tricking the audience. So we made sure to put in plain view the truth, except just like the main character, you don't see it until you're ready to see it. And so that was probably the biggest process that we went through in writing, was how ballsy we were gonna be on what we could show our hand and still make it interesting.
So from that perspective, when you're writing something or when you're developing something like this, how did you look about that process of taking that from the page to actually make it work on screen? Because that's actually, it's an easy thing to say, it's a much harder thing to do.
Yeah, it's way easier to talk about a movie than to make one. So the reality of taking this from this page, which every script you read is always on a page, and so you never get the sense of claustrophobia, and looking through what we're gonna shoot, really it came down to casting. We spent a year looking for Nick. One, somebody that fit our budget, and two, he's in literally every scene. He does not get to not be in a scene because he is our unreliable narrator. So we needed somebody that could be annoying and still likable, and a jerk and still likable, and somebody you wanted to watch for an hour and a half. And so that was really the first step in making sure that we could pull it off. And I told Ron early on, I didn't know if we could make the movie if we didn't find the right actor. So then we found Nick, and then it became a matter of visually trying to make sure that we had everything we need. I would love to say that we storyboarded, but we didn't. The reality was we didn't know what apartment we were shooting in until very shortly before we started shooting. It was much smaller than we had hoped for, which works on film, but not when you're trying to cram 25 people into a stinky place with no AC in the summer. What really made things work, I think, was talking with Ron about how we could choreograph the scenes to not break from room to room. And then I made a decision that when Marco is in a good headspace, we're on sticks. And when Marco is starting to go into a bad headspace, we're handheld. And so when the action picks up, we actually are able to move from room to room with him. And there are, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 scenes that are about 3 minutes with no cuts. And that was not trying to be, you know, fancy filmmaker. It was really about making it so you can't look away. And it feels like you're in the moment and we're stuck with him moving from place to place, thing to thing. And I think that that heightened level of emotion and then on set rehearsing with the actors and taking Ron's words to become their words until we were ready to shoot, I think that's what stepped everything up and allowed us to block it in a way that we could move throughout the apartment and make it feel like it doesn't stop. Because ultimately, if you stopped long enough, you'd realize you're still in the apartment and it becomes a little obnoxious. Almost all of it was thought out ahead of time. The hardest part was communicating what I wanted to the crew. And also, we had some pretty tricky things, like there's an earthquake scene, and what you don't see is the 10 people on the ground shaking everything with fishing line tied to all 4 appendages. What you don't see is when we have a ton of rags that change color and it's all in one shot where the camera never cuts and they all turn to a different color by the time we turn the camera around. And it looks like an empty room, but we had like 8 people choreographed to come in and out. And none of that, I feel, pays for it as a gimmick. Nobody goes, oh, wow. I think it just, the not cutting helps lead you to not think about it. And then it's just, if you notice that they switched or whatever without cutting, it's a delightful surprise, but that wasn't the end goal.
Well, I mean, I think something I'm noticing more and more now is that when people are making films like yours, where it's all really in camera and not done in some kind of CGI thing, that I think there's more of a connection to that film. You know, we don't really see anything anymore that's not CGI. Yeah. You know, it's not. There's not even a person acting with a person. But in your film, I mean, all that stuff is happening to him in this space, and he's, you know, comes across as a man who is losing his mind in this space, you know? So that's, to me, one of the really charming things about watching the process of him going crazy was that it was made from the environment that he was in.
I think the fact that watching him go crazy and the result of his environment and the fact that we did everything practically, which was part of the environment, one goes hand in hand. But also, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up watching, like, The Thing is one of my all-time favorite movies. To me, The Thing is an Agatha Christie mystery pretending to be a horror movie. Because it's a whodunit. You're trying to solve it the whole time. So your mind is working overtime trying to solve something. And that's why it's scarier, because you're getting caught off guard constantly. And so that was something that, like, I've always aspired to, whether I'm doing a comedy or a drama or a thriller, is one character is the most important thing. And if I don't buy into them, I could care less what happens to them. And so then if I do like the characters, or at least believe they're real, then if I see things that are happening to them that aren't real, just because I'm more aware and heightened awareness of the CGI, then I'm immediately pulled out of the threat. And it's just more fun on a smaller budget to be able to have a crew get excited about doing something rather than, hey, this tennis ball is gonna be a thing. It's just a lot more practical.
On Story is brought to you in part by the Alice Kleberg Reynolds Foundation, a Texas family providing innovative funding since 1979. This project is supported in part by the Cultural Arts Division of the City of Austin Economic Development Department, the Texas Commission on the Arts, the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services, and the Texas Library and Archives Commission. This program is also made possible in part by a grant from Humanities Texas, the state affiliate for the National Endowment for the Humanities. On Story is supported in part by Too Far Media, immersive story experiences by Rich Chaperot. The show is produced by myself, Barbara Morgan. Our associate producers are Colin Heyer, Sonia McCarter, and Maya Perez. Our editors are Jamal Knox and Travis Neely. Audio capture by Travis Kennedy. Music by Brian Ramos. Production assistance comes from The Sound Lab, Inc., Travis Kennedy, and KUT 90.5 in Austin. Go to austinfilmfestival.com to find out more about Austin Film Festival and conference each October. Until next time, I'm Barbara Morgan, and this has been Austin Film Festival's On Story.